Remember that 20 questions game? Let's play it together and let the topic be 20 questions about unschooling. Before we dive in, you're listening to the Unschooling Mom to Mom podcast, and I'm your host, Sue Patterson. I'm bringing 25 years of experience in the homeschooling and unschooling communities to help you see unschooling as the wonderful option that it is. My own three kids are grown now, so I can say that with so much confidence. Whether you listen to the podcasts or dive into all the resources that I've created, I can help you get that confidence you're looking for too. I have all sorts of links at the website for this particular podcast, so you'll want to go over there to see it. Basically, what I'd encourage you to do is to think about which of these questions are your question about unschooling, listen to what I have to say, and then explore the resource I've linked for you to take the next steps. This is how you're going to gain that confidence. Knowledge plus support and a little action on your part is all it's going to take. So we'll start at the beginning, and I'll try to keep our podcast length to under 10 minutes as promised. But you know me. Okay, number one, what is unschooling anyway? The short answer is that it's creating an environment where natural learning can thrive. When we realize that everyone is hardwired to learn, we stop seeing the need to orchestrate everything. It's a learner-focused instead of a teacher-focused approach. Number two, how do kids learn what they need if we don't make them? This question misses a really important part, that idea that we learn best when we are interested and engaged. Coercing learning, forcing anything really, creates resistance and undermines all the internal motivations to learn something. When we make the kids do a thing, we create even more obstacles. But to the part of the question that's underneath, how will they know what they need to know? This is probably the crux of everyone's fears about unschooling, right? Okay, so I don't make them. How will they be prepared? Well, here's the good news. It's in their hardwiring. All humans are curious and want to learn. It's in our nature. Where we as parents who have spent a long time in school keep forgetting is that life is sprinkling interesting opportunities in our paths all the time. But we get so focused on what schools and curriculum companies say about the content, and more importantly, when kids need to learn certain things, we feel pressure and we stop noticing the learning that weaves throughout the day. I could go on and on about that. But this podcast and the ebook that I've created, Everything Really Does Count, I think it was last week. I'll link to it. It'll help you a little bit. So next, number three, do unschoolers really have no structure? This is a misconception. Everyday life has a structure to it. Waking up, eating meals, rhythms that emerge in a day. This is the start of a natural structure. Not artificial like math at 10 and reading at 11. What if we want to do more than that? Or it's a day that some awesome exhibit is coming through town at the local museum. Or it's raining outside and our picnic plans aren't going to happen. Or it's finally sunny after days of rain. One of the benefits of stepping away from a school system or a curriculum approach is having the freedom to do what fits with the people in your family on that particular day. Having structure gives us some kind of false reassurance that all will be well if we just stick to the structure. That's from years of being conditioned not to trust ourselves and to believe that the structure of the system is more important than the needs of the individual. Unschooling uses a loose structure that's flexible enough to accommodate all the variables that show up. Number four, what's a typical unschooling day like? Well, everybody really wants a formula, right? Something they can duplicate, but it doesn't work like that. My family's typical day wouldn't look anything like yours. It's part of truly individualizing everything. Because when you do that, one day may not look like the next even. But you want to take advantage of whatever pops up. It's part of the adventure. Also, remember, we have had a lot of years being convinced that there's one right answer or one way to get that right answer. So the idea of actually looking for a creative approach to the day can be really foreign for us. It takes a while to build your confidence. Number 5, don't kids have to learn grit and do things they don't want to do? Probably the answer is yes. And they do that whenever they're allowed to pursue their interests. Inevitably, they will want to do something that they don't yet have the knowledge or skill to do. But because they want that end goal, they will work hard to gain what they need to get it. They'll be developing grit. But kids who are told no, often by the parents in the interest of developing grit and character, really are learning other things, like how they cannot rely on the adults in their lives to help them get what they need, how they will have to work around these adults to get what they want. Maybe they'll simply be told no and shut down, telling themselves they have no right to ask for something or that their preferences are not as valuable as the preferences of those in charge. We train them to become conformers and people pleasers when we take this approach. Which takes me to the next question. Do unschooled kids ever hear the word no? Of course they do. They just hear yes more often. Yes becomes the knee-jerk response from the parents, kind of like doing improv. Yes, and what part of this can we make happen? What piece of the request can we get a yes? Do they need help with a strategy to get to the end result they want? So many of us grew up with no as the answer given by our parents. And it's understandable. We see that now. No is easier. No requires no thought on our part. And we're exhausted for a million reasons. But no is dismissive and demoralizing. And as unschoolers, we want to go in another direction. Number 7, how do they have any friends? Well, they meet people who share their interests by engaging in activities they enjoy. They meet people in the world and become friends. No, it's not the friendships that come from desk proximity or whose last name shares the same first letter. But centering around shared interests gives a much better chance for a deeper friendship to be formed. More like how adults make friends in the real world. Unschooling kids make friends more like this because they're living life in the real world. Number 8, will unschooling work for teens? Absolutely. At any age, kids can switch from the school approach to unschooling. They can dive into life, creating days that could make them happy. Number 9, how do they get a diploma or a transcript? Well, as the principal, an administrator for your homeschool, the parents create the transcript and diploma. You'll sign it, date it, and they're good to go. Subjects weave through everyday activities. Unschooling parents become more adept at seeing these things. Then it becomes easier to record. Number 10, how do they get into college? The same way everyone else does. Usually there's an assessment test for community college or TAFE in Australia or New Zealand, and they get put into the class that fits with their scores. They can transfer their classes to a university and then they're in. Some kids choose to get an SAT or an ACT book, study for the exam, and then get into a university based on that score. You can take those tests multiple times, and there's really something to say for maturity. A kid that wants to go this route will study and learn what they need. Sometimes it's hard to believe that when we're looking at a younger teen, but maturity is real. They'll get there. Number 11, how long should a person de-school? It's going to vary. There's a formula about 1 month for every year the person was in school. So if you went 12 or 13 years, you, the parent, will be working on de-schooling for over a year. The child less so because they've gone less. But de-schooling can pop up all throughout our parenting. Something that didn't matter to you when they were 7 or 8 may become a big deal to you, or lots for you to unpack when they hit 13. It's always good to read and listen to a lot about de-schooling. That way you can recognize what's happening when certain thoughts pop into your head. Number 12, is unschooling just for rich people? No. I knew someone that said all anyone really needs is a bus pass and a library card. And she was right. Lots of ways exist to help families explore the world in a more frugal way. Number 13, can single parents unschool? Yes. It takes some juggling for sure, and it depends on the age and maturity of the child and your support system. A lot will also depend on the communication and the trust between the parents and the kids. But single moms unschool all the time. Number 14, how do we have balance? I think you have to get a more big picture look at it all. It may not look very balanced over a day or two, but when you look at it over a longer span of time, a bigger arc, you can somehow see some balance. Still, I think balance is overrated. Some people are dabblers, while others are natural deep divers. An artist may not need to have equal exposure to other subjects, except in how they relate to their art. The same with kids who like to build or enjoy science. You may not see the balance that is actually there, especially if you haven't deschooled. Number 15, how do regular homeschoolers switch to unschooling? I think when the homeschooling approach stops working, when the power struggles get too intense, when the gap widens between the parent and the kid, this is when parents start to think, okay, tell me about this unschooling thing. So start by shelving the curricula and leaning towards what the child enjoys. Brainstorm with them about fun things to do. Keep subjects per se off the table. Just think in terms of topics. Play more together. Think of your favorite Saturdays. Live like that. Odds are you're going to need some support because fear makes us second guess everything. I have options for that, a membership, a course, unschooling guides. Resources are available to help you, though. Number 16, is your house always a mess? Yes. The lived-in look. That probably there are those that have a simpler life and they don't have quite the messiness that we had. But we have lots of stories in our head about our worth being associated with the cleanliness of our house. So we have to unpack that. Lots of people live in that house. Lots of projects are emerging. Living a life with creativity and curiosity is messy. Number 17, do you ever get any time off? Well, this worries people a lot. Partly it's a society thing we've had pushed onto us, separating us from our kids and making mothering and parenting feel like a burden instead of a choice that we made. But there are ways to get your batteries recharged, lots of ways, really. And they don't always require a weekend away from your life. And if you're having trouble connecting with your kids, which is often the case when they're going to school or you're pushing a curriculum, from an unschooling standpoint, that's going to be something you need to resolve. Number 18, is unschooling unparenting? No, not at all. It's probably the farthest from that. It's a more engaged and more connected style of parenting. I have an article that you can read that'll help clarify this some more. Number 19, what does radical unschooling mean? Well, this isn't as scary as it may sound. It's simply incorporating unschooling principles into all aspects of your family life. Instead of only thinking of unschooling as a method for homeschooling, radical unschoolers see how effective it is for learning and apply it to the parenting issues as well. The word radical in this case is defined more mathematically. It has to do with getting to the root and is permeated into all aspects. And number 20, why choose something like unschooling? Well, for me, it was because you only get one childhood. You have no idea how long you're going to have on this earth, and God forbid they have a short life. I don't want them to have wasted it sitting in a schoolroom waiting for life to start. and of course, other ideas factored in as we moved away from the schoolish way of thinking and into unschooling. Everyone's list is going to be different, but we initially made the choice because unschooling allowed them more time to explore their curiosities and preferences. It gave us more adventures with our family out in the world and more flexibility to enjoy life together. So, how about that for my 20 questions game with you? Probably each topic could have been a podcast in and of itself, right? And some of them already are. I'll put the transcript at the website so that you can have access to ways to follow up on each of these. And then I'll put links for that in the show notes. So that's it for now. Enjoy your kids, enjoy unschooling, and we'll talk again next week.